Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
It's Brandon Phoenix with Jeremy Phoenix. We're doing another edition of the Raspy Voice Kids podcast. Today's pop culture, we're talking about loaning money. Do you loan your friends money? Do you accept loans? Would you ask for a loan? Friends and family, money issues. We're going to review the football game between James Madison University and our Mountaineers. The question, do we hate Dana? If so, why? And of course, we're going to hit you with the why we hate Mizzou. All coming right for you. Raspy Voice Kids, RVK, here we go, baby. Should you lend money to family or friends?
Ooh, that's a good question. Man, family and friends. Family, it depends on how close the family is. Yeah. And what I mean is, there is my immediate family that I would pretty much do anything for the most part. Close family. I got a few cousins that I consider close. And then there's a few cousins who are just like, as in DNA wise, just as close.
Yeah.
That wouldn't get a damn from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it depends on the person. It's a funny thing though, when you decide to start lending people money, because it changes relationships.
Yep.
People, even if you're going to be the good one, even if you're going to be the straight up one, then it means the other person may be the one who feels entitled or overlooks or just expects. When you start dealing with money, it changes relationships. You got to be careful.
This guy on moneycrashers.com says, I have lent money to friends and family and borrowed money from friends and family. Neither situation worked out well. I learned a lot from both experiences. Most importantly, I learned that I'll never loan money to friend or family member again. And he gives the reasons. There are 10 reasons listed, 10 of them. One of the reasons he says is because they're open-ended loans, which means like if you buy a car, you get 36 months, 36 months, 48 months, 60, 72 months to pay the loan back. You know how long you have before that loan comes due. That's one of the things. You lend money to a family or friend, typically you just give them the money.
No, and as much as you want to stipulate, hey, look, I'm not giving this to you. I'm loaning it to you. It's funny how after a few weeks, that whole thing gets blurred.
Yes.
When they want to go to Kings Island, when they want to stunt in a new pair of Jordans, and when they want to go down to the beach, you looking on your Facebook like, what?
Yes. And then like he says, and that's one of the points he makes. Number four, it can make family gatherings awkward. Because after you've seen them on Facebook, on Instagram, stunting, styling, and profiling, then you got to see them in person, and you're like, don't you owe me?
Yeah.
And so that makes those situations awkward. It also talked about it being difficult to ask for the money back. The loan becomes not a priority for the person because if you got bills to pay, what are you going to do? Let your lights get cut off or pay back your cousin that can wait a few more weeks?
That's true.
So that's the whole thing. It's not a priority.
And the longer the loan goes, the more it drops on the priority list to pay it back.
Yo, I have a question.
Chime in.
All right. So, back to your example, you're at a family gathering and you're like, hey, don't you owe me money?
I wasn't saying I would actually say that.
I understand, but in that situation, would that be rude to ask for money?
No. Nope. I don't think it's ever rude to ask for money.
I guarantee you some family members are going to say, are you really going to ask that right
now?
Nah. I'm with Jordan. I think it's rude to ask out in public. If you had a private loan.
Not in front of people. But if I pull you to the side and say, brother, you know you're supposed to pay me.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
If you have missed it, like if you have not been paying it and I see you, I can pull you aside and say, hey, yeah, man. So what's going on with the You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm well within my rights. Because you were well.
But certainly not at the card table.
Oh, no, no.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, in the line.
Playing spades. Like, hey, John, don't you owe me 15? No.
Or when two people sit there, I bet you $20. No, you won't. Remember, you.
Yeah.
Because you got the extra large with the cheese, okay?
So, yeah, I mean, there's lots of things that go on with that. The biggest thing, I think, is what you said. It changes relationships. So unless your relationship is rock solid and it's not going to change no matter what, then I don't think you should loan the money. But the other thing, the piece of advice I've gotten in my life that has been one of the most profound and powerful pieces of advice I've ever gotten is that this person I know said, if somebody asking for money, he just gives it to him. He doesn't do loans. So he never loans more money than he can afford to lose. And I think that's a good thing. Don't ever lend more money than you can afford to lose. Because otherwise, if you go into the situation expecting to lose the money, then you're nowhere near salty when you actually lose the money.
And you know what I hate? When I owe people money, and what I mean by owing people money is, you know, sometimes everybody buys a ticket. All right, I'll get everybody's ticket. See me, pay me, right?
Yeah.
I hate having to ask for the money when I get the ticket. So when people buy tickets for me or buy whatever for me, the moment I see them, matter of fact, I was at work the other day. I forgot my wallet at home. One of my dudes at work, I'm like, oh, man, let me get 20. I'll give it back to you tomorrow. No big deal. He gave me 20. The very next day when I saw him, the very first thing I did was reach in my pocket and give him the $20 because nothing is more, I don't know, I don't say cringeworthy, but it's just uncomfortable. Then have to be like,
and it's
yo,
not your fault. You shouldn't be in the position where you're uncomfortable. Yeah,
remember yesterday when I loaned you that money and you said you're going to pay me back? You know, like don't do that. When you see, if you see somebody you owe money, give them the money.
Yep. You got anything else to say, Jordan? Have you ever been in a situation like this?
Not particularly. I'm still in that situation where I'm still trying to actually acquire money myself. But I've never had to borrow money from relatives, although I won't be surprised if I have to at some point, or if some relative asks me for money.
Yeah,
you ever been burnt? I mean burnt.
Yeah, Sherman.
Did you lend him money?
Yes,
Sherman.
Yes,
Sherman.
Yeah,
oh
he got
my
me.
God,
he got me. He got me.
I forgot about, and he yeah, never gave it back.
Got me. Nope, never paid back.
He got you.
He got me.
Catch me on riding on chrome, hit the clutch, hit the gear, hit the gas, and I'm gone.
And guess what? I'm not salty. I was never mad about it because I knew when it was coming out of my pocket, there was a good chance it was never coming back. So I was all right with it.
I remember loaning Barrick money. This is back when none of us had any money. Not real money. I mean, we was working little jobs. We were like, no, 17. And I remember loaning him money, and he didn't pay me back. And I can't remember how much it was, but he like gave me partial money back. Like it was all good. And I was like, no, it's not. And we
this is a percentage.
We got in the biggest blowout fight. I remember we were over Cherie's house, the biggest blowout fight over it. And that's when I inspired him to change his life because he was in a bodybuilder magazines, no ounces of fat on him. I mean, I'm just telling you, like, when I say in great shape. But back then, he was just hitting the gym. And I mean, we got the biggest blowout fight ever. And I remember hitting him with the, look at you. You go to the gym every day, and you barely look better than me. That's when it started.
Jeremy's ruthless.
I inspired him to make a change.
And just, yeah. Now I want to say it.
Is that really inspiration, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Because the next time I saw him, like, no, not next time, but like 4 months later, he had a six pack and he had been grinding out. Now, me and him went different paths.
Very different paths.
But still, man.
He got a six pack and you bought a six pack.
Yeah.
No, okay. Not, he got the six pack, but you got the whole keg?
But anyway. Let us know what you guys think about borrowing money and lending money to friends or family. Is it okay or is it a no-go? Let us know.
Rackney voice!
You want the dopest gear out? You want to look fresh while rocking the Mountaineer brands? The best thing to do is go to bookexchangewv.com. That's where you get the flyest apparel. The Book Exchange is going to hook you up for listening to the RVK. Use code RASPYVOICE, Raspy Voice. Code Raspy Voice when you go to bookexchangewv.com to get the flyest Mountaineer gear and souvenirs. Raspy Voice Kids are brought to you in part by the pizza place in Morgantown. They have the official pepperoni roll of the Raspy Voice Kids. They are located at 3011 North Point Plaza in Morgantown, West Virginia. If you are in town near the Mile Grind, you got to get to the pizza place. It is the greatest pizza you will ever taste. I don't care what anybody says. Shout out to our boys, Mike and Luca. James Madison, the University of the Dukes, a worthy opponent, brought it FCS style. Actually brought it FBS style, I should say. It was a little scary for a little bit, Jeremy. How'd you feel about the game?
I was excited to be out there tailgating the RVK red carpet, debuting the step and go, taking pictures. So pregame was Morgantown style, RVK style. Everybody stopping by, having a good time.
Shout out to Jason Riggs and Lori Morgan. They put it down.
This is what we couldn't wait for. College football season came. The bad thing about it is the only thing that can quench your college football thirst.
The only thing.
Is more college football.
Yep.
We're done with week one and we already can't wait to Missouri. But this game for me, oh man, you get in the stadium. The fans were excited. I know every first game teams are excited, but for me, it was a special feeling. Obviously, Neil Brown's first game.
Yep.
The fans were excited. You could tell there was a buzz. There was a buzz amongst everybody.
There was a lot of people with a buzz, to be honest. More than a buzz.
But the actual game, the game was good. Like I felt like it kind of went pretty much what I expected. I didn't expect to go to blow the doors off of anybody. But I think we were solid in all aspects of the football game, which we'll get into.
You felt we were solid in all aspects of the football game.
There was one, there's one aspect I thought we weren't. But there's everything else, I felt like we were very solid. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
That's not true. I can name two things I know.
All right, we're going to talk about right now. But let me just say, I just felt like, all right, I guess what I'm trying to say is I felt like we were a well-coached team out there. That's what I felt.
Yeah, that without question, we were a well-coached team. One of the things that I liked the most was were the adjustments that we made. I felt like we found holes in their secondary. We found better protections in the second half for passing, and we capitalized on that. I felt like Austin Kendall made the adjustments on his throws, got a little more comfortable, especially on some of those timing routes.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
He looked like a starting quarterback. He looked like a QB1.
What two things were you going to say that we weren't solid on?
Run blocking.
Okay.
And if you want to add the running backs in, they're fine. But I believe it was run blocking primarily. It got the lowest grade by Pro Football Focus.
Okay, and I agree.
Of all the
anybody
units.
Watch the game will agree with that. 100%, yes.
Well,
and the coaching staff even said it.
Yes, and we only averaged 1.4 yards per rush
yeah.
For a total of 24 yards for the game.
24 yards in
so
an entire
that,
game.
I mean, of course, it's including sacks and all that. But still, that tells you what you need to know.
No, I agree.
The other thing is, you have been complaining about this. We complained about it the last few years. Now we have a new group. We have a new coaching staff. And we're still having the same issue with dropping the ball at wide receiver.
Now here's the thing.
Now, you said solid. I'm not saying that
solid. Who dropped the ball? But here's the thing.
James dropped.
But who else dropped? Sam James dropped like three passes.
Sam James dropped.
That's the only one I really noticed. Like,
did Bryce Wheaton drop one?
I don't know. The past years, our whole receiving.
There were six drops for the game.
Was there?
There were six drops for the game. Because if Austin Kendall had all those, or he had, maybe it was six drops for the game.
I'll say for me, past games I've seen the whole receiving
which would have taken him from 72% to 78% completion.
I'm saying like the past years I saw the whole receiving core dropping passes. This game, I felt like Tevin held on to the ball. TJ Simmons, Ryan, what's his name? The other receiver from Temple.
Sean Ryan.
Mr. Ryan, I always call him Mr. Ryan. Mr. Ryan, I think, had a drop, and Sam James had the dropsies. I didn't feel like it may have been a complete receiver core thing.
Kennedy McCoy dropped.
I felt like Sam James. The dude looks so explosive.
He is explosive.
His man could not guard him. He was running around him, and that's what excites us Mountaineer fans. But I will also say, he dropped the ball. He dropped the ball a few times, but I didn't feel like it was a whole core receiving thing.
I mean, like I said, I think it was, and Neil Brown talked about the offensive line. He talked about false starts, and he talked about missed assignments, and he put that on one person. He didn't say the name, but he said he put that on one person. When he talked about drop passes, he didn't put it on one person. So I think
I got to go back and watch the game again on TV. I'm just telling you what I thought like out the gate. What I mean, I felt like they were solid all around and well coached. Is turnovers is one of the big things. We didn't have one turnover all game for our offense.
And also, not only did we not only have...
Yeah.
We didn't have any that should have been turnovers.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Yeah. Sometimes you throw it right to the defense and they drop the ball. We didn't see that.
Yep. There were no interceptions that should have been. There were no fumbles that we recovered ourselves. We took care of the ball. Well-coached team.
All right. That's one. Then, for me, we took away we had three turnovers against them. We're plus three so far.
Two on defense, one.
That is great coaching. Teams. You look at special.
But speaking of turnovers, did you see the turnover helmet? I looked for it. I didn't see it.
That's right. I don't know if I did.
I didn't see
it. He said they were going to keep doing it.
And I haven't seen pictures of it. I haven't
Maybe
seen
they
of
didn't
it.
Find it before the game. I don't know.
I don't know what happened. Somebody correct us if we're wrong, but I did not see the turnover helmet.
Al Pogue, when he was on here on his interview, said they were going to keep the turnover helmet.
And he made it sound like they had a special update to it.
So maybe I just missed it, but I didn't see it.
I did not see the turnover helmet.
That's a good point. Wow.
In fact, I should have tweeted about
that. I
saw
the new Miami chain. But 305, but I didn't see
305
that.
305 left them at 0-1.
But also, like I said, we had three turnovers against them. When I talk about good coaching, the kickoff coverage, the punt coverage, everything was very, very solid. We blocked a kick on special teams. That's big time.
We didn't. Darius Stills did. Shout out to our boy Darius
That's
Stills.
That's right. We had a big block and maybe we return yards. We didn't have a whole lot, but I just felt like we were very solid all the way around.
We covered well on our special
that's
teams.
That's what I'm saying.
Except for on one, and that was in the second half.
We missed one field goal, but it was a long field goal. He had enough leg, though.
It was a 49-yarder. He had plenty of leg. He just missed it wide left.
He missed it wide. That happens sometimes. But like I said, my favorite thing about this, taken away from it, is the thing we lacked in other years under the Dana era was discipline. And I feel like all the way around, it was pretty solid. Offensive line, but everywhere else, pretty solid.
Offensive line's a pretty big but you're right. I agree with you. And I liked what I saw. I also feel like there is a possibility that we did not show all of our cards on Saturday.
No, that's funny because you told me that. I was like, you think he'll hold back? And you're like, Neil Brown is not a guy who will hold back. Well, it seems like he said afterwards in press conferences exactly what he did.
Yep, you're right. I was wrong. I thought, especially against James Madison, where we were only 7.5 point by the end line, the first line being 5.5 point favorites, I didn't think he would hold anything back.
What did he say? We ran four plays?
Essentially, we didn't run anywhere near all the plays that we're going to run. Now, he doesn't run a lot of plays. That's something to know about their offense. Neil Brown doesn't run a lot of plays. They run a few plays, but they run them perfectly. That's the plan. That's what they set out to do. So the question really ends up being, will the different looks make a difference when we get to Columbia? But, of course, that's a different conversation.
Yeah. I feel like it's a big deal if you look at the pressure that the defensive line was able to get on James Madison. That's what we've blocked in the past. The defensive line being able to break through and actually get pressures, to get sacks. Dante, Darius, the dude from Michigan.
Reuben Jones had two
Reuben
sacks.
Reuben Jones. It's just the pressure that they applied. Granted, last year we saw the big man in Bigelow doing his thing.
Yep.
But I feel for me it was encouraging to see our defensive line again show up and show that they can get to the quarterback.
I love seeing Jeffrey Pooler out there. I love seeing Taj Austin out there. I love seeing them get all those guys rotated. The linebackers look good. Josh Chandler looked the best, 14 tackles. I say he looked the best, but the interesting thing about Josh Chandler is he didn't rate the highest on Pro Football Focus, on Pro Football Focus's measurement of essentially how efficient or how well you played. Diamante Lindsey and X-Ree Lowe, both at linebacker, were ahead of Josh Chandler on as far as Pro Football Focus is concerned. But Josh Chandler leads the Big 12 in tackles at 14. Even though Kenneth Murray, who should have been a Mountaineer, thanks Dana, we'll talk about that later, was close with 13. So overall, I think it was an acceptable start to the season. A win is a win is a win. When you look at Tennessee, who was a 28-point favorite, I believe, and they lost to Georgia State at home, FCS loss. When you look at Wyoming beating Missouri, which we're going to talk about a lot more later, when you look at Boise State coming back to beat Florida State, which granted that's again G5 versus Power 5, but it's not FCS. Win the game. A win is a win is a win.
I think, you know what? I was talking to somebody else about this too. I think this win will be different than last year's Tennessee win. And what I mean is, we came in super hyped for this Tennessee game. We won the game. We came away feeling great. Probably came away from the Tennessee game feeling better than we did about this win. But I think in the end, JMU is going to be a better squad than Tennessee. Last year, Tennessee was terrible. And we look back like, how much did that win really mean? JMU, though they're FCS, I think we'll look back at this win like, wow, look at them. Every week they're putting up 60 points and shutting people out. I think we bet be a quality team because we're disciplined. And the reason why I say it's because we're disciplined, because imagine if the turnover ratio was flipped. If we turn the ball over three times.
Turnover ratio is flipped, we lose by two touchdowns.
That's what I'm saying. And that's exactly what I'm
probably
saying.
Probably.
I just think that this is going to be a more solid win by the end of the year. But when we go through the season, maybe not in the view of the pollsters, I'm talking about as a program, this is a more quality win that I think a lot of people realize.
No, I agree. And I think people in the program feel that way. Oh, okay. So somebody's Cody Moyer said he saw it was there. He said by the comm case next to the QB phone. So the turnover helmet was there. So that's what we're told. Cody Moyer, if you're lying, then you shall be dealt with.
I'll be honest with you, man. I'm going to be real with you, Brandon. I was burning up.
Hot at the game?
I was burning up hot at the game. So I was watching the game. I was into the game, but I was so hot. I was sitting there trying to fan out as much as I could. I had no time to look on the sideline to see if they was putting on some.
No, I kept looking for it. So I was hot too, but it wasn't that bad, I didn't think.
I was burning up, man.
The students thought it was too hot. They were all out.
Like, what do you think about the students? They keep going on and on about the students. Look, the students are going to be who the students are, okay?
I don't agree. Quit selling them. Quit giving them tickets.
But is this like every program, or is this just West Virginia?
I don't think it's just West Virginia.
And it's not just this year. It's been the past.
I don't think it's just this
year. It hasn't been forever?
It's been like this for a long time.
So.
It's been like this for too long. Something needs to be done. It looks bad. Like they said, somebody suggested that maybe you put the students on the press box side. That way when they show camera angles, camera
I do.
Views,
I agree with that.
It doesn't look like an empty stadium.
That 100%, I agree. Put them on the press box side.
But something needs to be done. So. But anyway, that's our basic thoughts. Let's talk about Missouri now, because we're going to do why we hate Mizzou. But until we do why we hate Mizzou.
All right, we can talk about Missouri. Go ahead.
What do you think? We're 13.5 point dogs, 14.5 by some sports.
Is
books.
It? I thought it was down to 7.
No, it is not down to 7.
14 point dogs. I'm going to just say this. I know.
That's why I put out the poll.
Football is about matchups. Sports is about matchups.
Yeah.
But I can't help but feel
like you always
feel. All the way up. You lost to. All right. This is not why we hate. I'm just saying they lost to Wyoming.
Wyoming.
I'm going to say in my calm voice. They lost to Wyoming.
Yes.
And I'd be way more pressed and anxiety ridden had they not just lost to Wyoming.
Yeah, but does that make it worse? Like, are they hungry now? Are they angry now? Are they more focused now?
Kelly Bryant, you just came from Clemson.
Yep.
Who won the national championship, got rings without you. It was a big deal. You didn't have a ring. That's not why we hate. Let's save those last
save it.
Days.
Save it.
How more motivated can you be? Trevor Lawrence took your spot. Trevor Lawrence. You know what I mean? And so now you go to this new school, and you're like, look, I'm going to prove myself. Here we go. Kelly Bryant 2.0. And I'm not saying he's the reason why they lost, but you lost to Wyoming.
They lost in Laramie.
How much more motivated can you be? I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I don't know. I know that they gave up nearly 7 yards a carry, or about 7 yards a carry, nearly 300 yards rushing to Wyoming. JMU's stated goal was to be the number one leading rushing team in the FCS, and we held them to under 4 yards a carry. We only had 1.4 yards a carry, so it's going to be the team that can't run versus the team that can't stop the run. The question, we're going to find out real quick something about somebody. Somebody said that. We're going to find out something about somebody. And I don't know what we're going to find out, because I watched our team. We weren't physical. And Neil Brown said that. So it's not just me saying that. Neil Brown said we just weren't physical. And he said it wasn't just the line. It was the receivers as well. TJ Simmons on the first play of the game offensively gets thrown out the way, and his man makes the tackle in the backfield. For a loss. And I love TJ Simmons, a little foo-foo. So don't act like, I mean, I'm not trying to act like say anything bad about him. I'm just saying he's not an offensive lineman. those are places that we could improve. There were times when we had receivers, and that's why that blocked so well, which is why we were as successful as we were back in the Rich Rod days especially. So we're going to find out.
But shout out Darius Ray Nod, young jock.
Yep, we're going to find out. Brandon Miles, about to find out what this team is made of. And the coaching staff, how well they motivate, how well they can keep this team focused, how well they can make the adjustments that need to be made in order to improve. Because that's one thing you expect from game one to game two, the biggest improvement, I would think. Especially since you went all offseason without hitting, without playing. Now you get into the season, you're actually hitting, you're actually playing. Before, I wasn't always confident that we were going to make strides with Dana. Now, I am confident because that's what this coaching staff has proven. They have a track record of that. Blake Seiler, special teams coach, track record of being a great special teams coach. What did we get? Excellent special teams. Vic Koning, track record of being an excellent defensive coordinator. What did we get? Really good defense. And Neil Brown has proven that he can be a good offensive coach. So we're going to find out what this team is really made of.
What we also found out is that some teams just are always going to be the same teams. Tennessee, looking at you, kid.
Yep. Some teams are always going to be the same team. Crazy Uncle Lou, shout out to Lou too. Crazy Uncle Lou. He's like, seriously. He's like, I'm not trolling. Sometimes I'm trolling. I'm not trolling. You have to leave the SEC.
Yeah, I know. I'm serious.
You have to get out of the SEC.
No. I mean, what are they going to say now? Like, every year with a new coach,
it's the same thing.
What is it? They can't bring in anybody.
I don't know.
They spend a ton of money.
I just got to tell you.
They spend so much money on this coaching staff.
But can you imagine Darnell Wright? Darnell Wright would be starting. Darnell Wright and Nestor, those two guys would be starting for WVU.
Speaking of, Brent Strange had a touchdown with Penn State.
Shout out to Brent
Strange. West Virginia kid.
Everybody had a touchdown. Everybody had a touchdown with Penn State. 79 points.
But go back to
Dougie Fresh, Doug Nestor, and Darnell Wright, who I wish the best for.
Oh, yeah.
Darnell Wright stuck in that mess down there in Tennessee.
You know what? And he is down there in Tennessee, but you know the person that I just really...
But listen, Doug Nestor, they both start out with losses.
Who Nestor go to?
Virginia Tech.
That's right.
They both start out with losses when they could have been in Morgantown.
But you know what? This
place,
is
a place that we actually are needing.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing I want to say about Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright is a good person. But the person that I love the most in his family, his little brother. I mean, his brother is just one of a kind.
Jeremy's so
He's
dumb.
He's one of a kind.
Jeremy saw his brother, and his brother's gigantic.
Gigantic.
Jeremy's talking about him already trying to recruit him.
I'm telling
WVU.
You, he can only be in seventh grade, but I know an NFL Hall of Famer when I see him.
All right,
NFL
Robert Davison and
big
Jeremy.
And huge.
Robert Davison and Jeremy Kreitz both said they saw it, and it was handed out during the game. So I don't know how I missed it, but I looked for it, and I just
he's talking about the turnover hat.
The turnover helmet, Has been confirmed, so I'm glad it was there.
But also... lowercase p goes down. I'm telling you, it was a good weekend.
It was a good weekend.
Lowercase p goes down. I just don't get it. All these kids who just funnel into Pitt. They get the talent.
Why?
They steal
Why?
The talent.
Why?
Who's that kid, the offensive line, who picked Pitt over West Virginia?
No idea.
What in the world? I hope he hasn't signed his letter. I'm just saying.
He hasn't signed his letter. It's just a verbal. And you can be sure that our guys haven't stopped. But
I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Pitt goes down. Virginia Tech goes down. Tennessee goes down. Houston goes down.
Houston goes way down. Could have been worse. Should have been worse.
No, it looked like classic Dana to me, actually. That game's classic Dana.
Yeah, except for there was no high five for Jalen Hurts, believe it or not.
Yeah, or there was no yelling and throwing of the mic.
The headset.
Headset.
For once. Yeah, well, that's it for this segment. We're going to talk about, do we hate Dana? Should Mountaineer Nation hate Dana next? Coming up next.
Rat me, boys!
Big shout to Shrinkables! Shrinkables, supporting the RVK partnership since day one. Hey, this is Brandon from the Raspy Voice Kids. We are now teamed up with SeatGeek. SeatGeek, the place to go and get your tickets for any live event that you want to be a part of, especially if you're a sports fan. Use code RASPYVOICE, RASPYVOICE. And you get $20 off your first purchase. Code RASPYVOICE at SeatGeek. Download the app. Get to saving now. Do we hate Dana Holgorsen? How do you feel about Dana, Jeremy? DH.
I never did. I never hated Dana. The separation, I felt, was mutual. I don't care what came out. It was mutual.
Yeah, it was as amicable a split as can happen in coaching.
I don't like him keeping our name in his mouth. so much, but I understand the fact that he was here for 8 years. So when you're asked questions about, you know, the past things, like if I talk to any of you out there and I ask about maybe another job you had or whatever, whatever, you're going to talk about what was recent. He's been at West Virginia for 8 years. So when he pulls on stuff to talk about, I think it's almost natural to want it to come out. Now, here's the thing. Coaches are trained and they know how the media works. So I feel like he should be on his P's and Q's a little bit more to go out of his way to make sure he doesn't offend. And I think he doesn't care about that at all.
I think he's disrespectful.
Do you?
I was not upset when he left. I was not upset at all.
And by the way, I'm not saying that's a full thing. There's sometimes I feel like he was outright disrespectful.
I was not upset with him at all when he left. I wasn't. I wasn't upset that we lost him. I was upset that we lost him to a G5 program because I thought it made us look bad. Then we landed Neil Brown, and I didn't care. Even though we all know the real deal, which is that Dana wasn't getting that contract renewed. And it just made sense for him to go where he had guaranteed money. That all made sense. That said, once he was gone and started talking in Sports Illustrated and USA Today and everywhere else, that's when I got like, okay, I'm tired of this garbage. You think Houston's so much better?
No, and that's the
Houston
thing.
Being a G5 program. And
he left and all he did was make excuses.
And Dana knows that Houston is a G5 program.
And he wasn't making excuses. All he did was leave and blame West Virginia.
For his fault.
For his
inadequacy.
For his terrible timeout calls and everything
else. For his lack of recruiting. For him not, when Darnell Wright says, a 5-star offensive lineman in your state says, when Dana said something in an article about we're not going to be able to get the players in state that we need. Darnell Wright said you got to try at least, which tells you right there he didn't recruit Darnell
and
Wright.
And Neil Brown actually had a chance, actually put on a last second. We didn't get him, but like you see the push that they made for him,
hoping for a transfer portal right there.
Yes.
Then you add to that Kenneth Murray, who's now at Oklahoma, who grew up wanting to be a Mountaineer, who said that he reached out to WVU to be recruited by WVU, and he was told that they're not interested. That's the kind of stuff you hear, and you say, how invested were you in trying to do your job? And I don't care where you are, hard work works. And I'm not telling you that we were going to be the juggernaut that you want to be, but don't tell me when you go to Houston you're going to be something that you couldn't
and
be at West Virginia.
Second of all, you sit there talking about how, we can't recruit what we need in West Virginia. What does that have to do with you having all these receivers and an incredible quarterback and talent all across the board and not being able to make plays? And not being able to
finish off Oklahoma State.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not even talking about
up 31-14 at halftime. That has nothing to do with recruiting. That has everything to do with
Iowa State, your offense couldn't do anything. And you're going to put it on, we couldn't. No, you got out-coached. Period.
And it happened repeatedly. And I was a Dana. People called us Dana stance. People said we defended Dana too much. And I'm going to tell you right now, you were right. I was wrong. I didn't realize that Dana didn't buy in as much. Now, granted, people are like, what is he supposed to say now that he's at Houston? You say, I had an opportunity to come home. When you have an opportunity to come home, you go home. This is home. This is the best fit for me because this is my home. Or this is what feels right to me. This is where I was before. This is where I launched my career. Whatever you want to say, keep our name out of your mouth in a disrespectful way.
And the worst part is, especially when it plays like this, when it was happening, I was like, okay, let's stay focused. But now hindsight is 20/20. We did not have a spring game. We did not have a fan day.
You know why? Because he didn't care.
He didn't care. That's my thing. At the time, I thought, well, I don't care if we're going to stay if this means we're going to stay focused
and win.
And win this national championship or win this Big 12 or compete for this Big 12. Hindsight, after it's over, no, we didn't have it because you didn't care.
After it's over and after the comments made. And I thought the thing that I find interesting, too, is the people who cover West Virginia, people who are granted access to West Virginia, which those people didn't have anything bad to say about Dana while he was there. When he left, then you started hearing the stories about how Dana showed up late to events that he should have been not only on time to, but early to. How he didn't stay full time for different events and different things that you would expect a head coach to be an ambassador for. The way that Neil Brown is starting off. Now, granted, he may not stay that way, but there's nothing in Neil Brown's history that tells you he's not going to continue to be a man of integrity the way that you see. Do I hate Dana? No.
No,
I want Dana to shut up? Yes.
Do I hate Dana? No. Do I want him to win? No.
Exactly. Because if he goes to Houston and wins now, then it looks like all of his excuses were right.
Yep.
If he beats Oklahoma like some of you guys were hoping he would, then all of his excuses look like they're right. The excuses are not right because Don Nealon 1-0 against Oklahoma. People want to say retried. Bill Stewart 1-0 against Oklahoma. Oklahoma can be beaten by West Virginia. We've done it. In fact, we were 2-0 until Dana got here. We're now 2-8 because Dana went 0-8 against Oklahoma. So I don't hate Dana at all, but I want him to shut up. And when he runs his mouth, I'm going to run mine, because that's what we do over here at the RVK. We keep it 1,000, not 100. We keep it 1,000. Okay?
Yes. He, Brandon, once again, speaking on now on group of five teams. I don't do that.
I'm not speaking on group of five teams. I'm not talking about Houston. I'm talking about Dana.
I know. I'm just saying, like, you react to the Marshall stuff. You react me.
I don't always react.
I'm big enough to listen to him, all right? Look, we too big. We power five. We ain't group of five. I don't listen to no Dana. Like, Dana can talk all he wants. I don't want him to win.
It'd be different if there wasn't. If there wasn't a national perception of the things that he was saying as being true. If there weren't kids in our state.
But you know the difference is?
What?
Win
and it goes away.
That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line of how it's always been. That's why we live and die with our wins and losses here, because it matters. And the main antidote to all of this that's ever been said
is win.
Is win. Neil Brown, just win, baby.
Rack me, boys!
The Raspy Voice Kids are brought to you by Swill Dog Hard Cider, the finest hard cider in all of the world, made right there in Franklin, West Virginia. They are encouraging you to get swilled. Responsibly, of course. We also want to give a big shout, a big thank you to our partner and sponsor, Astorg Auto of Charleston. The man with the plan is Mr. Jamie Spears. When you want to ride in elegance, luxury, and style, they're the ones to see. They'll treat you right, and you'll be driving better. Make sure you tell them that the RVK sent you. We love our man, Jim Ashley, the quintessential businessman and international world traveler, Jim Ashley. We thank you for being a sponsor and partner with the show. We love having you on. Can't wait till you're here again. Taj Sweet, I believe is the way you say his name, is the latest recruit, the latest commit to WVU basketball.
Triple Sweet.
2020 recruit. He's a three-star. Number 55, power forward. And he's excited to be a Mountaineer. He's excited to have him on. Bobby Huggins is doing a big thing in Morgantown right now. Not only did he recruit Deuce McBride and Oscar Shwebe, and you know, for this current class, but Jeremy, he just got Jalen Bridges.
We all know.
Four-star out of Fairmont.
You win with horses.
Yep.
Say what you want. Great coaches. And college basketball is a little bit different than college football, because college basketball, you get those fourth-year senior kids who've been in the program. You can compete, especially when you're against younger talent. But when you start getting the horses, yeah, that's all you need to know. You can say what you want, but check the recruiting. Check the recruiting, because everybody who's always in the top 10, you know where they finish in the year? The top 10, usually.
Yep.
So this is a big thing that Bobby's doing.
Well, we love it. I love when we keep in-state kids in-state. That's four in-state kids on the roster right now with Jalen Bridges. He's enrolled in school, so that's not even – we're not going to have to worry about whether or not he's, you know, going to be wishy-washy. He's supposed to commit on Halloween. He switched up, committed this week. It's really great to have that kid in the fold, especially after somebody, a writer, tried to write an article saying he was overrated and we didn't need him.
We didn't even talk about that.
No, we didn't even talk about it, but how ridiculous.
I didn't bring no.
And Jalen Bridges clearly didn't care. So I have 2 points to make. One, you should never write an article about a high school kid, especially an in-state kid, like that.
Like that.
But two, recruits don't care, guys. Everybody who's like, you might make him not come to this school. Stop it. Bobby Huggins and the coaching staff and the facilities and the playing time and all the other things you talk about when you recruit a kid are going to be what determines whether or not a kid comes to a school, not a few morons in the press or
for the
or
most
fans.
Part. There's exceptions to every
rule. There might be exceptions, but it would have to be really ridiculous.
Adrian Payne from Michigan State, who was all in. Deshaun Butler said,
but that's part of the recruiting process, what I'm talking about, actual recruiting process.
And he went to the club, and one of the players left him in the club by himself in the middle of Morgantown.
Exactly.
The next day, Huggins drove him back to the airport, and he didn't say one word the entire way back to the
airport.
But that's
my point. That's part of the recruiting process. That's not a writer. That's not the media. That's not fans. Those aren't fans. That is just part of the actual recruiting process. When the coaches send you out with a player that they trust and he leaves you in the club, that's what happens right there. Those kinds of things are when you lose recruits. But it's nice. It's really great to see. I'm really glad to see we got another 4-star and another 3-star. So I'm looking forward to basketball season, even though we're smack dab right at the heat of football season.
Rack me, boys! Information was false. I'll show you just what it cost in the M.I. Crooked letter, crooked letter.
Why do we hate you? Well, let's say you're a pathetic disgrace. Just like that tiger statue you unveiled at your stadium. Absolute garbage. It looks like an overgrown, underfed, wet rodent. Completely out of place. Just like you in the SEC East. It doesn't make any sense. Another reason to hate Mizzou, another reason why we hate you, is because your rival is Kansas. And I'm not talking about basketball. Your rival is Kansas in football. Football. And you barely hold the lead against them 56-55, and you have 9 ties. Pathetic. Anybody who has Kansas as a rival that is not in state should just be embarrassed and hide away. But you don't. You claim to be Mizzou. You're from the M-I. Crooked letter, O-U-R-I. Wyoming does it better. Because they ran for almost 300 yards against you guys. Almost 300 yards you gave up in a loss. The first Wyoming Power 5 win since 2008 when they beat Tennessee. You guys are absolutely ridiculous, and we have to play you. You're on our schedule. We've got to go to Columbia to face this nonsense. You're as relevant to the SEC as Nelly is to RAP. Not at all. It's over. Mizzou, boo-hoo. Be gone.
I'm telling you, I was amped up to get after you. I was ready and fixing just to give it to you. And then you made our job so easy. Like, I had some stuff lined up, and then you lose to Wyoming. Wyoming? Like, here's the thing. It's one thing to lose to Wyoming, but the other thing that's almost as bad, Brandon, is that you actually played Wyoming at Wyoming. Who does that? You went on road to play them. That's like us playing Marshall. It doesn't happen. You went there and they spanked you. That's like paying somebody to take your girl. And that's exactly what happened. You rolled up in there and they took your Cinderella. They deboed your Cinderella. They said, that's my bike, punk. And now they're the Cinderella because your season's over. Gary Pinkel isn't walking through that door. The last 3 years of being garbage that you've had is what you're going to stay with, because that's what Odom is, garbage. That's what your program is, garbage. Now you start over new quarterback. This guy comes over from Clemson, and his name is Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant, I don't know her. I don't know her. And what does he do? He had all year to brew. He had all year to show what he had. He had you guys so hyped, and you come out and lay an egg. Look at it. Trevor Lawrence back in Clemson is laughing. He wins a national championship. He gets a ring. And you collect L's like a parallelogram. Come on now. That's all you got. I thought maybe you would come out here motivated, amped up. Not going to happen, because your program is garbage. Every time you try to do something great, nothing happens. You're in the SEC, but like I said, with Odom, you have nothing. So sit down, because these real Mountaineers are coming to you. We know you're black and yellow, but when we come there and we bring the old gold, I promise you, we're going to ice you with the blues.
Yeah, you guys need to just recognize what you really are. You went out to Laramie and you got beat by those yellow and brown rodeo clowns. It's not your year. So be done. Mizzou, this is why we hate you.
Just a thought, after listening to your guys' podcast, you were questioning, you know, whether the turnover helmet was still in existence, and, you know, coming to find out it was. But it just made me think, if you guys didn't see it, I know you were looking for it, is the turnover helmet, you know, that big of a deal? And I'm not saying it isn't, because to me, if it motivates the players to go get a turnover, then it's worth it. But I guarantee, down in Miami, when they get a turnover, I mean, I've seen it. I saw it in their first game. The TV cameras flock to it. Where's the chain? Where's it coming out at? I guarantee when they're at home, it's on the big board when that guy puts the chain around his neck. At WVU, I didn't see that. I personally saw the helmet on the sideline. I saw him hand it out, but I did not see it on the big board, and I'd venture to say it wasn't on TV. Just wanted to get your all thoughts.
Sports Social Podcast Network.